Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I'm going to keep it real simple. Can I tell you something? I only have 24 minutes to talk to you because I want to have time at the end to give an invitation. I'm going to invite you at the end of the service to receive Christ and to make a choice. So I only have 24 minutes, so I can't go 1,000 different directions. There's a movie called Hitch, and there's one part of it that I love. And the part that I love is when this guy is trying to teach another guy how to dance. And so he's teaching him how to dance, and he says, "Show me how you dance." And he's just like, you know, I mean, just crazy, just, you know. And he slaps him and says, "No." He says, "I want you to keep it right here." Don't go beyond this. So when I talk about eternity and heaven and hell, I'm going to keep it right here. I'm going to keep it real simple. We're not going to go all over the map. You can email Johnny Green. You can email Mike Heyman. You can email Rain Austin. We can email all these thoughts, all these million questions. We'll talk about that later. I'm going to stick to the truth and the tightness that Jesus gave because He was very clear. Our Savior was very, very clear as it relates to eternity and heaven and hell. Now, we're going to do a little pop quiz. I know some of you, that get you nervous, kind of start off. Yeah, it's test time here at Healing Place Church. I just want to find out where we're at. So let's do an eternal pop quiz just to kind of get our bearings as Scripture teaches us about eternity. Let's just do a pop quiz. We'll put it on the screen so you can walk this through. Here's the first question. How many people live after the grave? Don't talk out loud. I'll walk through this. I'm preaching, not you. So how many people live after the grave? How many people live after the grave? Now, there's a scripture that gives us some help on this. Acts chapter 24, 15. "And I have the same hope in God as these men, that there will be a resurrection of both righteous and wicked." So, A, is it nobody? Is it B, everybody? Is it C, unbelievers? Is it D, believers in Christ? Or is it E, vampires? Who lives after the grave? Who are the ones who live after the grave? Well, it's B, everybody. That's what Acts chapter 24. That was wrong. It's B. Look, why do we have test issues here? It's B, everybody. Look, I'm having to teach the class and even teach those who are helping to teach us. Okay, so we'll walk through this. It's B. Okay, second question. What is the first event following resurrection? So if everybody lives after the grave, when there's resurrection, what is the first event following resurrection? Let me read you a scripture. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. "Just as a man is destined to die once, after that to face judgment." Just as a man is destined to die once, after that face judgment. So that scripture gives us a hint. What is the first event that follows resurrection? A, is it breakfast? Is it B, celebration? Is it C, punishment? Is it D, judgment? Or is it E, a three-piece dinner from churches? I mean, what goes on after resurrection? Well, it's D, it's judgment. Judgment, that's what takes place. So everyone is going to have this appointment, and then after that, there is judgment. There is a decision time based on God's invitation to you. Let's look at the third question, just a pop quiz. Think about this. At the judgment, God will divide the human race into two camps. On what basis will He divide them? The Bible teaches real clearly that at a judgment, God will divide the human race into two camps. What is the basis of Him dividing that? Well, John chapter 3, verse 16 gives us a hint. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So would it be A, a person's goodness? Would it be B, a being a red-blooded American, just being a good old American, I'm in? Would it be C, a person's faith and acceptance in Jesus Christ? Would it be D, a person's badness? Is that the determining factor? Is it E, a person's church involvement? Which one is it? Well, the answer is C. At judgment, God will divide the human race into two camps. On what basis will he divide them? He bases that on a person's faith and acceptance in Jesus Christ. We get to choose that. It's not on our badness. It's not on church involvement. It's not on being a red-blooded man. It's not on how many good works you've done. It's based on what you did with Jesus. That's the determining factor as it relates to where you will spend eternity. And then the last question, we'll finish up with this for kind of a pop quiz. Where do people spend life beyond the grave? Where do you go? What is beyond the grave? And where do you spend? Is it a holding pattern? You know, a lot of people teach this theory of annihilation. What it means is when you're dead, you're just dead. You just go to dust. There's nothing. What is it beyond the grave? What goes on beyond the grave? What does the Bible teach? Well, the Bible teaches that we're all created in the image of God. And so Matthew chapter 25, verse 46 says this: they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So what's the answer? A, somewhere in the universe, you just go off into a cosmic kind of holding patterns. Woo, just that's kind of happening. Is there another life form here on earth? You get reincarnated. What does the Bible teach? Do you kind of come back and, you know, all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're now a giraffe. And it's just like, God, this is amazing. I'm in the Serengeti. This is incredible. Is it C, nowhere? Or is it D, heaven or hell? I believe it's D. I believe the Bible teaches that it's D. And we talk about a literal heaven and a literal hell, a place forever. Now, I know the world makes this kind of cartoonish, and they're fascinated with this. There are so many movies about beyond the grave. You know, there's a movie called Meet Joe Black. Beyond what goes on? Groundhog Day. Someone dies. They keep waking up. Keep waking up. Ghosts. Field of Dreams. Cocoon. On and on. There's all these what goes on. But guess what? Where do we find clarity? We find clarity in the Bible. You know, it's amazing. That's just kind of a general refresher. Today, there are many, many misconceptions and false teachings. Who can you believe? Who can you trust? You know, it's interesting throughout the whole Bible that the person who talked the most about eternity in the whole book was Jesus Christ himself. That Jesus taught about eternity and heaven and hell more than any other person in the whole Bible. He's the one who knew about it. He's the one who went. He's the one who saw beyond the curtain. So I've decided to go with the words of Christ. What are you going to decide to do? Who are you going to trust? Who are you going to put your eternal life? Who are you going to put what's beyond the grave? What are you going to entrust that into? I've decided to entrust that to Christ. And Jesus says a lot of things about eternity and heaven and hell. And I'll give you a couple of them. Here's the first thing he taught this constantly, that all will be resurrected, that there is life beyond the grave, that no one gets a sleep pass. Just kind of sleep this one through. There's not a poof and you're gone. He also taught that there's going to be an accounting and a judgment. Jesus taught about a lot about judgment and an accounting for your life. She said, what's the issue of that? We talked a little bit about it. It's not performance. It's not pedigree. It's not comparison. Well, am I going to go in because I'm better than this person because I've got a background? It's not your sin count. You know, this person sinned more than me, and that's got to determine where I'm going to spend eternity. And they sin a lot, so I know they're not going to make it. And I only sin twice a day, so it's not a sin count. You know, that's not the issue. That's not the determining factor. It's what you did with your sin and who you chose to believe in. The real issue is, have you been born again? That is the difference between heaven and hell. Have you been born again? Jesus taught that in John chapter 3 as he talked to Nicodemus, who was a very good person, who had a lot of good works. But Jesus looked right down and said, unless you've been born again by my spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. Jesus also taught a lot that there's going to be a separation. There's going to be an eternal, irrevocable assignment to every person. Jesus taught that. You say, that's very narrow-minded. People tell me, you're narrow-minded to believe that based on Jesus, do you go to heaven or do you go to hell? That's so narrow-minded that it can't be broader than that. You mean tell me that I'm going to go to hell because I don't believe in Jesus? I'm going to talk a little bit about really who's narrow-minded in just a few minutes. What is the real narrow-minded thought as it relates to this thought of eternity? And then the fourth thing Jesus taught was that your decision today determines your eternity. That the decision you make to now will determine what happens on the other side of the grave. Now, there's a great New Testament window that Jesus taught and gave this story that I believe gives us an incredible learning lesson about the vast underworld and upper world that we talk about as far as heaven and hell. It's in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. I'll just read it to you because it's very plain as Jesus taught this to us. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and had fine linen, lived in luxury every day. At his gate there laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 16. The time came when the beggar died. So he died. Like all of us, there's going to be a time where we all die. And the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Abraham's side is mentioning that place of heaven. It mentions that upper world, that dimension that we talk about. Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell. There's the mention of it. Jesus, words of red. In hell, where he was tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides this, between us, there's a great chasm being fixed so that those who want to go from here to there cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. Let them warn them so that they will not also come to this place, a literal place, to be tormented. Then Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. This is a great verse. I want you to see this verse. He said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. What is he saying? God's already told the story. God's already given the story. This is a real story. One went to heaven, one went to hell. It's a real story about eternity. Now I want to break this down for a few minutes because I want to talk a little bit about hell. I'm not excited to talk about hell. I don't look forward to talk about hell. Can I tell you that? It's not something I get, I just can't wait to talk to people about going to hell. This is incredible. But we've got to know about this. It's a sad thing. It's a horrifying thing. That's why God paid the ultimate price so that no one would have to go to this place for those that rejected God. Those that did not want God in their life. So hell was created for those that rejected God. Nothing worse than going to hell. Nothing worse. Nothing known to mankind than going to hell. Hell is a place of utter darkness. Utter darkness. That means agony of darkness. It's a place where your life is ruined, but you can't die from being ruined. You just keep living in a ruined state. There's no life. There's no interaction. It's total isolation. Everything is evil. There's all hate. There's fire. There's torment. There is no relief. There's no care. There's no love. It is a place of madness. It is a place where people beg to die, but they won't die. The Bible says that it's a place of gnashing of teeth. You know that, you ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Or you stump your toe? It's gnashing. It's pain, pain, pain. And there is no exit. Why? Because it's a place for those who rejected God. They did not want God. It is a place that is devoid of the presence of God. It's those who say, I don't want God in my life. So guess what? Eternity is spent without God. Everything that God is, everything that God means, everything that God expresses, it's not in hell. It's a horrible place that God did the unthinkable for you and I to avoid. And he wants no one to go there. You know what he did? He gave up his son, his very own son, to be the substitute of our sin that separates us. Because the Bible says that we're all appointed to die and after that judgment. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life with Jesus Christ. You do not want to go to hell. And I'm telling you right now, your friends, your family, your workplace, none of them are worth going to hell over. Nobody is worth going to hell. You want to make a decision about eternity, because guess what? Eternity is a place, it's very long if you're wrong. You want to get that right. Because eternity is a long time to be wrong or in error. Well, I'll tell you what I believe. I read it from a book, and my uncle told me that, and I got this hand-me-down idea. Are you sure about what he told you? Are you sure? Who's the author of that book? What do they now believe? Are they still living? Who did they believe? Who did they read? It is a long time to base your eternity on something that would be false. You don't want to go to hell. Let's talk for a few minutes about a place called heaven that Jesus talked a lot about. Friend, there's nothing better than going to heaven. If there's nothing worse than going to hell, there's nothing better than going to heaven. Because heaven is all God. Everything that God is, that's heaven. It's a place where you can take on forever the identity of that which you worshiped and surrendered to. You take on the identity and you're in the presence of God. Why? Because in your little life, you worshiped him and surrendered to him. Therefore, you're going to spend time with him. And guess what? Hell is a place where you take on the identity of what you worshiped also. If you worshiped yourself, and you worship sin, and you worshiped evil, and you worship wickedness, then you take on that identity. Heaven and hell. There's going to be no tears in heaven. There's going to be no pain in heaven. There's no rejection in heaven. Heaven is a place of no hate, no fear, no sin. It will be full of joy and peace. It is a place of truth. Think about that. It is a place where all those who have gone before us, they're there. Think about who would live on your cul-de-sac. And think about when you go to heaven, you look around, there's your neighbor. There's the Apostle Paul. What's up, Paul? Good morning. I mean, there's Mother Teresa. There's David. There's Martin Luther. There's Billy Sunday. There's all these people that have given their life to Christ. Your friends, your family. Here's what I love about heaven. Heaven is a place of reunion with those that have gone before you. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to go to hell. I'm a party. You won't even see anybody to party. Jesus never said there was a party going on in hell. There is utter ruin forever and ever and ever, and then start over. But in heaven, it is an eternal worship party gathering reunion. I'm going to go to heaven, and guess what? I'm going to see my mother that passed away. I'm going to see my father that passed away. I'm going to see Dave Oler King when I get to heaven. I'm going to find Jordan Gautreau when I get to heaven. Because heaven is a place of reunion. It's a place of reunion. Jesus is there. That's the best thing. There's nothing that compares to going to heaven. That's why Jesus taught about it. I want to finish up these thoughts. Healing place, one thing's for sure. Every human on earth faces either heaven or hell. And it's all decided by one thing, just one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. Whether they have accepted Jesus Christ or whether they have refused him. And that's the truth. Give you an illustration. It's like if you're on a plane and the plane's going down and they say, hey, listen, plane's going down. Pilot comes up. Here's the deal. Plane's going down. But we've got these amazing parachutes. And we heard because there was a plane going down and there was one that jumped from a plane and the parachute worked. So he told us the story and he gave us an instruction book about how to handle parachutes. And he showed us how to use them and gave them to us as a gift. It's a promise. It's amazing. Okay, everybody put on your parachute. You're going to be fine. Everything. I know it's a little windy. I know it's a little crazy. But when you jump out of this plane, I'm telling you, everything's going to be great. We have a promise from the inventor of the parachute. It works. And he's tested it out. It's going to be amazing. So everybody strap on your parachute. But there's one person says, I don't want to use a parachute. I've got a pillow. I just like my pillow. Just makes more sense to me to hold my pillow. And my family, all of my family has pillows. And I know a guy in Hollywood that really likes his pillow. So I would just rather have a pillow. Well, no one's ever jumped with a pillow and we've never heard from them. But the guy with the parachute, we've heard from. See, Jesus Christ gave us an instruction manual and gave us a parachute, and it works. Can I tell you, don't jump out of the plane with some pillow. I mean, here's a parachute. Here's a parachute. But he sits there with a pillow and says, I just can't believe. Who's being narrow-minded? He said, you're the ones being narrow. No, the parachute works. He's come back from the dead. It works. You've got a pillow. You're being narrow-minded. The atheist that says, you're all being narrow-minded. No. You're being narrow-minded. The parachute works. It's all decided by him. No one has to go to hell. No one. No one. No one. No one. God paid an extreme price to pardon us because of his son's work. God is not hurling people into the lake of fire. God's not doing that. He's doing all he can for people not to go to hell. He's letting people know the bridge is out. The bridge is out. Don't go forward. His son is waving in front of the bridge is out. The church, missionaries, teachers, the Bible, scripture, the Holy Spirit. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. Don't go forward. Don't go forward. His son stands in the middle of our life and knocks and knocks. Don't go forward. Don't go forward. The bridge is out. The bridge is out. Follow me. Follow me. Healing place, it's real. Heaven and hell and eternity. I want to finish up with, I saw this illustration, a pastor by the name of Francis Chan. He did this illustration on the deal, and I thought it was pretty incredible. Okay, let's try this out. See how far I can go with this. Let's imagine that this rope goes on forever. Okay, it goes around the globe a couple of times. It really does it. It stops right back there. So you're like, God, y'all tied a rope all the way around the globe? That's amazing. And we didn't get to do it. I mean, we did old songs, but we couldn't do this. So here's the deal. Let's imagine this rope goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. Then let's imagine that this rope is your eternal timeline. This is your whole life. You're made in the image of God. The Bible says you will live forever and ever and ever. It will never end. Let's imagine this rope never ends, okay? And that's how long eternity is. It goes on and on and on and on and on. This is your life on earth. It's that much. Compared to eternity, where you're going to spend the rest of your timeline. Why? And guess what? What you decide here determines this timeline. Whether you will spend it in heaven or hell. What you decide right here in this little old space right here determines all this right here. Now, what's amazing to me and what I think is crazy, I did it for a while in my life. All we think about is right here. Okay, I'm just going to, one day I'm going to get married. Ah! I'm going to get a home. I'm going to raise kids. I'm going to retire. We spend our whole life, listen, striving, energy to get from here to here. Wow, 10 years of my life. We spend our money and our energy all in here. Oh, whatever determines right here. When there's all this, there's all this. Why are we so worried about just from here to here? Well, if I give my life to Christ and become a Christian, I've got a friend that's just right there that may have a problem with it. What about all this? I've had people look at me and say, why are you so connected to the church? Why are you going on a missions field? You give your money to the church. You give your time. You go to church. I mean, that's so crazy. It's just right here. What I think's crazy is to live your life for that. And let every decision be about this. Who likes me? What I'm involved with when there's all this. This is your life. On earth, this is your life beyond the grave, and it goes on forever. It's infinity. What you decide here determines where you spend your life. Jesus came to this so that you could get to this with him in heaven. But what you choose here will determine, will this be heaven or will this be hell? Nobody has to go to hell. Amen. I love a story about a dad who puts his daughter to bed every night. And she always said the same things to him. I love your face. I love your... She would say this to her dad. I love your face. I love your mustache. I love your cheeks. I love your eyes. I love your arms. I love your knees. I love your feet. But she would never say, I love your hands. Because he had had an accident years before that. His hands had become deformed, burnt horribly. Half fingers, deformed hands. She would get down to his hands and she just hardly couldn't say it. She would never say, and it broke his heart that she would get to him and look away. The scars were hard for that little precious angel to look at that. And one night she goes through the same thing. They'd done this for years. I love your face. I love your cheeks, Dad. I love your little big ears. I love the hair growing out of your nose. I love it all. And I love your arms, your strong arms. I love your knees. I love everything. And he said, baby, you never say it. I love your hands. She was silent. He said, sweetheart, when you were young, about 2 years old, we had a fire in our home. And we got out, and then we realized that you were trapped in the nursery. And these hands broke down that door. These hands fought through the fire, fought through the pain. And I scooped you up in my arms, and I carried you out, and I rescued you. And my hands were burnt and mangled because I rescued you. The next night, he puts her to bed. Daddy, I love your face. I love your ears. I love your nose. I love those bushy eyebrows. I love your cheeks. I love your knees. I love you. But most of all, I love your hands. Jesus came, scooped us up, trapped in sin, headed to the region of the lost, and he fought through. Then he stretched him out and he died for you and I, so that you and I would not experience that ruin in our life. No one, no one, no one, no one. Because he loves us and he wants to spend eternity, long time with you. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.